Welcome to the XR for Learning podcast. I am your host, Julie Smithson, and today we have on the call Rahel Demont from VR First. Rahel worked in Deloitte's Transaction Advisory Division. After a consulting job in Canada, the US, and Costa Rica, she founded an event marketing agency organizing events across Germany in the arts. Fascinated by the power and possibilities of emerging tech, she joined VR First as COO in 2016. She and her co-founder, Ferhan Ozkan, have led the program to a network of thousands of developers. In order to support the diversity of the tech scene, she has initiated the Women XR Laureate Breakthrough Augie Award. Her mission to democratize VR and AR development worldwide through VR First's various support programs and online competitions. The newest program is the XR Bootcamp. Welcome, Rahel.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation, Julie. And thanks for also being on our advisory board.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. Thank you so much for asking me to be a part of the XR Bootcamp. I think there's some great people that are coming together to discuss upskilling and how this industry is changing so much. So tell me a little bit more about VR First and what you're doing and how you got to where you are today.
So basically, what we've seen 3 and 4 years ago was that the equipment for virtual reality and augmented reality was super expensive. And there was a high demand from the industry to actually move forward and to actually develop more applications, more games, more serious games. And the problem was that the developers were not there because universities were not able to equip them with the knowledge and also the headsets and the gaming PCs which you needed at that time. So a computer would cost $3,000 and a headset would maybe cost even $1,000 to $2,000. So that equipping a university lab for all the students that wanted actually to learn was way too much and not affordable for anyone. So that we decided to establish a non-for-profit approach and to donate hundreds of headsets and computers to labs all around the world. So that up to date, we have supported 52 universities and science parks with the establishment of VR and AR labs so that they can better equip students with the resources and the knowledge to actually learn VR and AR development and to get the whole industry further as a movement. So we've established partnerships with Oculus, Facebook, with Intel, with AMD, with HTC, so with all hardware manufacturers and also software companies to basically get the knowledge out there and to make it affordable. And so what we were seeing is that there's still, even though there's a lot more VR AR education now on the market, there's still a lot of demand from the industry to hire more talents and to hire more VR and AR experts into their companies. So that we decided to, instead of having these 3 to even 6 years programs at universities, to really establish a very short, focused and industry-based program, which is XR Bootcamp today. So it's when you join XR Bootcamp, you're joining a 3 months full-time or 6 months part-time program where you can really learn VR and AI development, everything what's basically demanded by the industry. So we have a really great advisory board, including you, coming from all kinds of companies. So for example, we have HTC there, we have Magic Leap there, we have Audi there, we have all advisors from different industry companies which really need to hire VR AI developers. And they actually advised us on what to put into the curriculum, which is very focused on short term to really get the developers afterwards the job they want in the VR industry.
Wow, there's so much to unpack there. Let's start with the hardware. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges in our industry today is the community itself is pushing towards all of the content that's starting to come out. But back in the classrooms, whether it's university or K-12, higher education, hardware continues to be the biggest challenge. How do you deal with the evolution of the technology, the changes that are taking place so often, and I guess the expiry dates on a lot of this technology around your labs?
Yeah, definitely. Always when there's new devices coming out, we are contacting the hardware manufacturers and asking them to donate us the last season's devices, actually, so that you maybe in the labs, you don't get the latest hardware, but at least you get the second latest hardware, let's say that, because obviously the older sets of hardware are not being sold that massively anymore because they really want to progress and they really want to sell the newest hardware so that we have the chance to actually donate more equipment to the labs, which actually, if you are using the second latest device or the latest device to learn virtual reality and augmented reality, you may not need the most advanced equipment. So actually for us right now, it's really for VR first. It's actually an advantage that the equipment is really passing fast and it's being updated very quickly, because then we get the chance to get the old equipment to donate that.
I think the key here is recycling, multi-use, as well as passing those devices on to classrooms where they may not meet the standards of enterprise today, but in the classrooms, if a student can put those headsets on and take a trip to a safari or the Great Wall of China, you've put them in that experience. So I really commend you on working through this program, because I think that's something we need to see more of, is how does enterprise give back to the education community? And I think some of the things that you've put into place are excellent when it comes to recycling this hardware that we're going to be making so many of, and they change so often. And some of the devices that we had in late 2018 are no longer even an interest in proposing to enterprise. So what do you do with those devices, and putting those into the classrooms where the funding may not be there is obviously one of the best options.
We really have sometimes very surprising moments when, DK2s, right? Really, really old devices, which I was really thinking no one would actually want them anymore. We had studios, they didn't use them anymore, and they recycled basically 20 of those and gave them to us. And we could really, in Brazil, we could really equip a whole classroom with these 20 DK2s, and they are really using it and learning to develop with it, which is really awesome.
It's good to hear that, because the last thing we want to know about is a massive garbage pile of electronics that aren't being used when so many need them today when it comes to understanding what this technology is about.
Any studio out there which is currently looking at how to get rid of old devices, we are always taking them.
So you heard that VR First will help you get rid of your old devices and put them into places where they'll be used with great love, I'm sure. Let's talk about the XR Bootcamp Advisory a little bit more. You just touched on that, but I think it's worth discussing. And I think the fact that we need to reskill so many people in this world, upskill, train, educate, and provide the lessons of how this technology will affect our education. Let's dive deeper into the foundation of what you're trying to establish a little bit more with some of the people that are even on the advisory board. There's some great mentors that are becoming influential in this space.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we have Amy Peck from HTC Vive. We have René Schulte from Valorem. We have Elizabeth Barron from Silver Draft, and Jan Flüger from AdviceXR, Ewan Allen, Olivier Gesi from Atea, David Moreno from Virtualware. We have like around 19 advisors. I don't want to talk about all of them, but really like all kinds of different companies which are pioneering VR and AR are there. One from the enterprise side, which are applying VR, and then from the VR AR development side, of course. I think everyone is excited to really move education in this area forward and also to teach what they know already.
And we talk about a lot of new jobs and new roles that are taking place in industry that were never there before. How companies who were never digital before now have become digital, and they need to build out their technical teams. And what are those roles on the technical teams? How do they play within the rest of the organizations? And I think that's where our conversations are starting to go, is how do we support these companies in building their digital teams to support, whether it be 3D asset creation, website development, AR marketing applications. And I think this is a really interesting conversation for a lot of companies that don't even know what talent they need to scale out their companies and adapt to the digital economies that we're all entering into.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why we develop basically mini boot camps as well, where companies can send their innovation managers to just explore what is actually available in VR/AR and also to analyze which kind of application could make sense for their own businesses. So it's basically like 1 to 2 day workshops where they're just exploring and where they're seeing what other companies in their industries are already doing with VR/AR. And then in addition to the innovation manager, we are definitely also inviting project managers to see how is actually project management working for VR and AR projects. So that then if they decide to outsource something, that they just can negotiate better and also know better what they actually want and what they can actually achieve. And then if they really decide to, instead of outsource to an agency, to really develop the projects in-house, which is definitely possible because VR/AR is actually not that complicated to learn, they can also send their engineers or their current coding team to upskill and to then form the team that's needed inside the company to develop the prototypes or even whole projects inside the company. And that's also nice because instead of having to hire maybe a VR/AR engineer, which is very costly because it's very rare right now, you can upskill your current team and have them motivated and passionate about your own projects and just develop the projects for your own company.
That's amazing. Having these roles and these new job descriptions defined a little bit more will certainly help enterprise adopt this technology and not be so hesitant about the moves that they need to make as a company and taking on this talent. I do know that there is a place needed to host job postings and job offers or a place to find talent. Is that something VR First will also be doing, is hosting a job board?
Yeah, we are already very voluntarily taking all kinds of job offers internally to distribute them, of course, among our graduates, XR Bootcamp graduates, to connect them right away to the opportunities existing. And we are, of course, also looking to establish a platform where we just post all the job offers currently on the VR/AR market.
I've had several people come to me that are looking for jobs, but they don't know where their skill sets are needed. And I think this is something VR First is doing, is they're trying to make the matchmaking between the developers and enterprise and supporting their tech team. So I think that's wonderful. I know you've done a lot of hackathons as well, and I'm sure you've seen some of the talent come from these hackathons and ideas. Maybe share, if you can take a moment and just share one of your best experiences with a hackathon or an idea or a developer that you've seen kind of move from the hackathon to establishing a role within enterprise. Is that something that you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, there's really like amazing hackathons we've supported in the past. There's, for example, the Reality Virtually Hackathon, which was at MIT, which we supported with our community outreach. And yeah, there's just amazing projects coming out of that hackathon. Like, for example, there is a whole orchestra which you can basically learn to direct in virtual reality. And I just saw that's an amazing use case as well and very fantastic. There's definitely a lot of nice projects out there. And we are definitely always willing to also hear about talents which are currently looking for jobs. We have actually the opposite problem. It's basically being reached out to us to see where is the talent, which is actually a need for jobs. If you can connect me with the people that are looking to find some, that's definitely a good idea. Because yeah, for us, it's the opposite problem, that we know of a lot of open job offers, but not so many talents which could actually fill them.
Well, that's wonderful to know. I'd like to finish off our conversation with two things. First of all, is if you were to provide a lesson to anybody listening to this podcast, what would that lesson be?
I mean, definitely try it out. Like try maybe even this short online course about Unity development. It's very easy, you will see, and you will get excited about what you can actually do yourself in virtual reality. And then maybe, yeah, check out the bootcamps.
Finally, Rahel, how can people find out more about VR First?
Well, of course, there's our website, vrfirst.com, and also xrbootcamp.com. And there is all the contact opportunities there.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Rahel, for joining me today on the XR for Learning podcast. This is your host, Julie Smithson. Thanks very much. We'll see you next time.